Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw episode 120. And today we're going to be talking all things Premier League. It's been a spicy weekend of football. The darts is finished. Football dartsmas is officially over.
Christmas is officially over. Back to work.
We're
life is
fully
shit again.
Into the swing of the new year. 2025. Mudded. Big year though. And it could be a big year for the team we're going to be discussing first. Nottingham Forest currently sits second in the Premier League table.
Fraud watch.
Mate.
You.
Yeah, I'm on fraud watch big time.
You might have to edit in that clip of you saying whatever you said.
I might have to formally apologise to Nuno.
I'll find that clip or we can
Forest
find that
Forest all over, but I'm sorry. Mm. I apologise to you all.
He went for you.
I just didn't see how it happened, but they're proving the haters wrong.
Yeah, they are.
The biggest hater of all time. But second in the table on... What are we like? We're nearly at the end of the first. Well, it's the 7th of January.
They always say at the turn of the year, like December, turn of the year, that's when you start seeing where you are spot wise.
Yeah, the table starts shaping up properly.
Exactly that. And you got the likes of Spurs and Man United bottom half. And you got Nottingham Forest in third place.
It's absolutely insane. And every week they're putting on better and better performances.
Mm.
And they absolutely tore Wolves apart.
Yeah,
I didn't even watch the game. I was too busy watching QPR gone. They're mad.
They absolutely tore Wolves apart. Didn't watch the game.
Luton, you suck.
Come on.
Love to see it.
Yeah, shout out to QPR.
Yeah, we're doing well. But we're here to talk about a team who's doing slightly better.
Yeah, Nottingham Forest Wolves. It was a weird one because Wolves, since the new manager Vitor Pereira came in, they've looked okay.
Yeah.
And they like dominated this game, but Nottingham Forest don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is their style of playing, isn't it?
They just soak up pressure. They've got the second least goals conceded in the league.
I would like to see what their expected goals against is.
So would I.
That'd be interesting.
Can't hit you with that stat. But only Arsenal have got less goals conceded, 18. Nottingham Forest on 19. They got the most clean sheets. Matt Sells in goal. What a keeper he's turning out to be. But 9 clean sheets. First, next closest is Arsenal with 7. So yeah, they're defensively, like I said, they don't care about
dominating the game.
Yeah, no, they'll just soak up pressure. Hit you on the counter. They've got devastating transitional players.
Mate, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Callum Hudson-Odoi, Alanga.
Gibbs-White. I wouldn't need you off the bench.
Mate, it's quality.
Elliot Anderson is...
And then you've got big man amazing. Chris Wood up top.
Just the greatest footballer.
It's like old style football where you just got pacey wingers out wide. Big man up top.
They've just been playing loads of pro clubs.
Now, come on.
2013
where you got like the 5'5" wingers and then like
I mean the Hudson-Odoi isn't even that small. Alang is not really that small.
Oh no, they're not small. They're just pacey mate. Yeah. Like I think it was the second goal, so it was all Wolves and then Nottingham Forest just big ball up top to Callum Hudson-Odoi, absolutely burnt Matt Doherty.
Oh,
and then just squared it to Chris Wood and he scored.
Yeah, I mean
it's easy.
They're just efficient.
Yeah.
They're really hyper efficient.
I'd like to see their XG as well.
Let me have a look and see if I can get that for you.
XG conceding and XG. But yeah, I don't know. Chris Wood, 12 goals this season. So he's on fire. And then, yeah, like you said, Morgan Gibbs-White, I think he's loving the kind of reunited. He was already good when Nottingham Forest had Stevie Coops. He was like the main man. But I think he's really enjoying being back under Nuno like he was at Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, do you see Gibbs-White giving it to the Wolves fans after he scored?
Apparently they were calling his wife or girlfriend a slag, which we don't condone.
No.
But...
I mean, they were holding him back.
Funny stuff.
He made a big decision.
What we got?
They've got expected goals against of 1.59, which is actually puts them fourth bottom.
So that just shows
the only team
is
with
really
more
good.
Expected goals against are Leicester, Ipswich, Southampton.
So that means that they're conceding chances, which comes.
Oh,
from...
sorry. No, I was looking at Wolves. Donut. Not in the Forest. Only 13th, though.
Yeah, which still shows that
they're
conceding a lot of chances because they're not dominating the game. But the defence is solid. The keeper's solid. Concede chances.
They're expected to concede 1.46 per game.
Yeah.
And they're expected to score 1.39.
Yeah.
Which is mental because, I mean, Man City sit top and they're 1.91 expected goals per game and only 1.1 against. So, ruthless efficiency. That's maybe sort of the reason why I didn't think they could continue this run is because at some point they're going to have an injury to like Milinkovic or, you know, Chris Wood could get injured.
Mm.
But I think the team is set up so well. Every player knows their role.
Yeah.
It's like, if you do have an injury, you can bring someone else in because they'll just know how to step into that
I was going to say, they've got the likes of James Ward-Prowse on the bench.
Yeah, they've got
Awoniyi on the bench.
They've got good players.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be interested to see how long this continues. And I mean, if they keep it up for the next month or so, Champions League is a really, really clear shout.
Very big game coming up for them. They're going, not going to Liverpool. They've got Liverpool coming to their stadium.
The only team to beat Liverpool this season?
Yes. And Liverpool got a game tomorrow night, as we
big
record.
Big Stanley, mate.
So,
yeah, I mean, Liverpool didn't really put up a great performance against United, and they're slowly conceding goals. So, you know, it could be feasible that this could be a really tricky game for them. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Forest get something, because
close
the teams
gap.
Who like Liverpool, who are going to put on the pressure, going to take sort of the emphasis of the game, take it to Forest, hitting them on the counter. We saw what Dalot done against Trent.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I think Liverpool are there to get got
on the counter
big time. Like Trent defensively, he's not great, especially defending backwards.
Yeah, and you've got like Elanga, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Chris Wood. They'll bully opposition defenders. And Liverpool's wing wide players aren't really that good defensively. Like, I don't think Robertson's been great.
No, 100%.
Trent's not been great defensively. Like, our last game was horrendous.
Yeah.
I think got beaten or he like lost possession of the ball like 27 times.
Yeah, I saw a Liverpool fan say that's like his worst game in a Liverpool shirt.
Yeah, and so Nottingham Forest is just a real good opportunity for them. I mean, if they go and they get something from Liverpool,
do the double over Liverpool this season could be carnage.
Yeah, I mean, even a
draw would be nice.
Get a draw, that's still ridiculous to go to the top team in the league and take 4 points off them this season.
100%.
It's nuts. I just don't know how the long term goes, but the long term for them is, they've only got to compete in the Premier League. Every team around them has got Europe. You know, teams like Liverpool have got Carabao Cup. FA Cup still going on. Like, if Forest don't get any major injuries, there is no reason why this couldn't continue. They're better or as good as, at the minute, a lot of teams around them.
Oh, mate, I was just about to say that. Like, all the teams that you think are, like, competing with them, like Big Six boys, they've got a better team than Man United. They've got a better team than Spurs. They've got a better team than possibly Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, every team has hit a stumble, maybe apart from Liverpool and apart from Forest. I mean, if their stumble comes, they're not going to drop too far down because teams below them aren't picking up the points.
Yeah, 100%.
Even the teams where you sort of maybe expect Forest to be challenging more with, like your Aston Villa, like your Brightons, like your Fulhams, maybe even your Brentfords and Bournemouths. The level they're showing is not just one, but it's two or three steps above.
100%.
And as long as his confidence keeps going, as long as they avoid some major injuries, there's no reason it can't continue. And now I've said that, they're going to have a horrendous patch.
Come on.
I'd like to apologise.
Nah, they're cooking. Yeah, like we said, third place. Another team that we want to talk about is Newcastle.
Top of the form table, boy.
Yeah, two teams that are in outrageous form. So Newcastle.
Is it six in a row?
Five in a row.
Nuts.
That's UCL form, in my opinion. So they've got one goal conceded in their last five and 15 goals scored. Alexander Isak,
crud.
Best striker in the league, we've said that.
Yeah,
what player. And then, yeah, I don't know, one goal conceded in five is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I think a lot of it has to do with Sandor Tonali coming back into the team.
I totally agree. What a guy.
But a player who's gone under the radar, I think, a lot is Jacob Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is legs, he's engine, and he just that front three.
Yeah, he's very direct.
Has so much pace and so much directness. Like, if Gordon, Isak, or Murphy get the ball, they're going to take on their man. And they're more 100%. Than capable of taking someone out of the game. And then suddenly, you've got two defenders trying to cover Gordon at the far post, Isak in the middle. You know, and they're quite interchangeable. They can all play sort of.
100%. That's the kind of thing I miss at Arsenal, is that just wingers that take on your man. Like, Arsenal is a lot of just recycling. And same with, like, Man City. But Liverpool and Newcastle just got wingers that'll take on your man.
Yeah, I think they are on crud at the minute. And it goes to show what, like, a little bit of confidence a good run could do, because it wasn't too long ago we were talking about Eddie Howe being replaced.
I was just about to say, we were talking about Jose Mourinho. We're talking about, like, has he taken him to that level? And, yeah.
We have this conversation every season with them.
Yeah, he's a bit of an up and down guy. But yeah, I totally agree with the Sandro Tonali thing. I think him coming into midfield, not that the midfield was bad when it was Joe Linton, Bruno and Sean Longstaff. I like Sean Longstaff. But
Tonali's just a level up, isn't he?
Tonali's a level up. And what he does is kind of let Bruno G play a bit further forward, whereas like Sean Longstaff would play a bit further forward
and Bruno G would be the deeper. A lot of the players around him.
I think he's so switched on. Yeah, switched on, like, just dual winner. And then that midfield of Sandro Tonali, Bruno G and Joe Linton, it's just legs. It just bullies
teams. It's legs. It's physical. It's technical ability.
Like we spoke last week when they played Man United, and Man United played Casemiro and Eriksen against that midfield, and obviously
tore apart.
But like even like strong midfields, like
Arsenal's midfield would struggle.
Yeah, Liverpool's like Spurs midfield. Put out a good midfield against them. I think it was like Pat Matsar, Kulusevski, and that new Lucas Bergvall, who's young. But it's like an all right midfield, but they just got bullied.
Yeah, and I think even teams like Liverpool, Liverpool's midfield, it would struggle to compete against the likes of Newcastle. I mean, Man City's midfield wouldn't have a hope in hell against
that. Oh, God, no.
You know, it's... And maybe that's the problem he's lacking this season is solid midfields. I mean, you're looking at, like, Chelsea midfield, Caicedo, Lavia, Palmer. I mean, it's a good midfield. But Lavia is he's a good player. Caicedo has had a hard start to his Chelsea career. He's had a good season this year. But maybe we're just highlighting those sort of midfields because, you know, the ones we expect, the Arsenals, the Man Cities aren't really at that level at the minute. And Man City's probably obviously a lot to do with the loss of Rodri. But, you know, that Newcastle midfield can take them to heights. And when you've got players like Gordon and Isak up top, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the thing for Newcastle is that these players, if they don't get Champions League football... Surely they're all gone.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Like, I mean, I saw Isak say that he's willing to, because Arsenal are linked with him a lot, and the source that said that he's willing to turn down Arsenal if Newcastle get Champions League, which makes sense.
Yeah,
but like it's one of those where I feel like that is probably most players in that team's argument that if they don't get Champions League,
you're looking at
Gordon will be gone.
I mean, you're looking at Gordon, Isak, Bruno, maybe even Joe Linton.
Yeah,
Sandro Tonali could be gone. I mean. For me, I think maybe what they need to do in January is go hard for another centre-back. Maybe like Mark Gay, get him in. Maybe get someone who's a little bit more competition to Pope in goal. Maybe even a right-back as well.
Shout out Lewis Hall and Livramento, though. They're fucking quality.
I just think Livramento, if you get an injury to Lewis Hall, like who's your backup? Like Dan Burn. Then if you have just another right-back, because I don't think Trippier's...
Oh, yeah, been him.
I think he's sort of a little bit gone now. So if you just get another player in that right-back position, Livramento can play left-back. So you've got that coverage. You know, if Livramento gets injured, you put the replacement right-back in. If Hall gets injured, you play Livramento on the left, put the right-back in.
Yeah, sure.
Which I think that it's just, that's what will help them build as well. If they can.
I know they're looking for a winger as well. I've seen them linked with Brian Mbeumo.
Yeah.
I guess that's maybe because at first they thought Jacob Murphy wasn't that guy, but Jacob Murphy's obviously hit a good run of form.
Yeah, but how long are they still looking?
That's probably like an Almiron purple patch kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
But they're probably looking at like a Mbeumo, I think, is a quality shout.
Yeah, I mean, but they're going to have to spend big money for that. It's going to be 60, 70 million maybe, you know.
But yeah, Newcastle, mate, flying. Yeah. Let us know in the comments down below who's going to finish higher this season, Nottingham Forest or Newcastle.
I mean, we could see a top four where you've got Liverpool, Nottingham Forest, Newcastle, and probably Arsenal.
Come on. Who would have predicted that at the start of the season?
No one. Absolutely no one.
I think I actually had them to get relegated, Nottingham Forest.
Newcastle.
No. But,
big Eddie Howe hater.
Yeah. Shout out Newcastle. Shout out Nottingham Forest. Cracking season so far.
Before we move on to our next segment, I just want to get your thoughts on one topic.
Hit me.
Sliba versus João Pedro. The header for the penalty.
He sent me a text. I was in Dublin this weekend, tasting some fine Guinness, watching this match, and kind of lost my head. In my opinion, it's never a penalty. And he texts me saying, oh, it's got to be given.
See, the problem...
What do you mean, got to be given?
The problem was, I was...
It's so ambiguous.
I was about 7 pints deep, and I was like... I was watching it on like the corner screen in the pub, and I was like, I didn't see the Saliba get a touch on it.
I don't think anyone did. That's so minute details.
For me, at that point, if you don't see the Saliba touch, it's a penalty.
It's not, though.
He's gone for the header of the ball. If
we start giving penalties for clashes of heads, for me, or players going for headers,
now it's not a penalty because I think they've missed it.
Yeah.
But if you take the fact that Saliba headed the ball and that
I'm happy to take that part out,
If you had a slide tackle in the box and you mistimed it,
yeah,
it's a penalty.
Yeah,
I don't see why it's different to heads. If you commit to a challenge,
that is a good argument.
And you miss the ball,
yeah.
It's a penalty. I mean, because João Pedro, then he was in control of the ball.
He wasn't in control of the ball.
But he gets the touch on it last.
Yeah, not in control of it.
And then he's immediately taken out of the game.
Oh, he's not though.
But he's taken out of the game, regardless of whether he's.
If players are just going up, he's going up. If he went to like fucking headbutt him.
Yeah, if it was a blind elbow and he wasn't even near the ball, it's still a penalty.
Yeah, that's a penalty. But like, I think headers are just like a different thing. Whereas like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going up for corners and both players are going for headers and miss balls and like hit each other. Like yeah. You must see, I bet if you zoomed in on every single corner.
It's probably a clash of heads somewhere.
There's clashes of heads in there somewhere.
But
if you start doing that every single time,
João Pedro, out of everyone in that box, he was most in control of that ball at the point of contact.
Mm.
And I think if it was a sliding tackle or just a clatter of legs, it's a penalty. But for me, I can understand maybe slightly how VAR have missed it. There's a lot of pressure on them to turn around quick decisions now.
Yeah.
But it's... That was... I don't even think they saw the frame.
Have you ever seen a penalty like that given?
No.
Why is that happening now? Like, midway through... Like, obviously, maybe that situation has never occurred. But how has that situation never occurred before?
Well, I don't know.
Like,
what
is going on?
Yeah, it's...
In my opinion, it's the Sean Dyche meeting. The game is gone.
Yeah, I think I think there's a few pundits who suggested it maybe move to like an appeal system. Because I think then, because at that point, I was watching it back and Saliba was like adamant he got the ball.
Mm.
So like if they appealed it, and all the staff are on the benches have iPads.
Yeah.
So there's probably like four of them men who've seen that Saliba's touched the ball from a different angle. So they should be able to present that to the referee. Yeah. So they are, both the captains or the player in question and the captain of the opposition team should go up to the screen with the referee.
The argument is just that would take like fucking like quarter of an hour.
The referees most often don't have that sort of like footballing, like,
and they weren't there.
They don't know how it happened.
The people decided they're in a different building, like a mile away. Yeah,
but he doesn't like they won't always understand why players are doing something.
Yeah,
you know. And for me, I think if maybe Saliba could have played his case, it would have been different. Maybe it's a thing.
I don't want like we were shit that game, and
I think a draw was a fair result.
I don't even care about like how it affected the result. Like that's not an argument. Like we were bad, but it's just such like a stupid thing that. Changed the outcome of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I just don't understand like just what is going on.
It just feels like why has it happened to Arsenal?
Yeah, it's such like a because then you talk about like the Declan Rice thing.
The Gordon one where he like broke his nose. Where's the standards?
Yeah. And there's just shit like when Trossard kicked the ball away against Man City and got red card.
Mm.
The amount of clips I've seen on Twitter of players doing that since that game and not getting a yellow or anything.
Yeah. Well,
Declan Rice got red carded for it against Brighton earlier in the season. It's just stupid shit that like the referees are now not going to be consistent with. Like I can imagine we'll see that kind of header thing happen next week and nothing will happen.
Yeah.
And it's just shit like that that I think is getting on everybody's nerves.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's getting on your nerves.
It's getting on my nerves.
Right. We got a nice special segment here for this episode. We're doing our teams of the season.
Come.
So far.
Come.
We had a little discussion whether we were going to do one player from each team. And I thought, whilst it makes it interesting, you're not going to see the best teams. And I want to highlight several players from certain teams. So
come on.
We'll glimpse over that. We're starting. You want to start with your goalkeeper?
Starting goal.
Probably got a lot of the same players here.
I mentioned him earlier. Shout out Matt Sells.
Yep.
Most clean sheets in the league, 9.
Yeah, I think he's been a revelation for Forest.
I totally agree. But I'm going David Raya.
Ooh, are you?
I am. Ooh. I think he's the best keeper in the league. That's probably brazen to say. I think he's the best keeper in the league. There's like, there's just so many good things about him. The way he claims crosses, I think he's
underrated.
He's
generally been the best player so far this season in goal. Best goalkeeper the season so far.
I think so.
Okay, yeah. No, I see that. I think
he's playing out and back. It's crazy. He's made some big saves as well.
Yeah, I think
that's right.
It's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to highlight a player from a big team because obviously they're more in control of games. You don't really see them as often.
Yeah.
But you watch Arsenal week in, week out. You're going to see more of him than a lot of people will. I've gone for Sells. I think he's been fantastic for
Forest.
I think
with that, yeah.
I just think it'd be incredibly brazen not to highlight him. I think he's been fantastic. If I was, he's
copying my, with the word brazen there.
I think my, you're brazen as anything. My honorable mention was going to be Jordan Pickford, though. I think
I've seen
really
people say Jordan Pickford, yeah.
He's had a really good Pickford.
I can't
really
say I've watched loads of Everton this year, but when we played them and we drew 0-0, he had a really good game. And,
yeah.
Like, he's always there or thereabouts, saved a penalty the
other
week. I
think he has a lot of work to do at Everton. Like, he is often the reason that they come out with games with clean sheets.
It's
never because of the team performance. It's usually because he's pulled off some absolute wonder saves, and we know what he can do.
I can't work out if that skews my perspective of a keeper specifically in their favour or against them, if they're just constantly having to make saves. Like, obviously, it makes them look good because they come out of every game with, like, 10 saves.
Yeah.
But, like, how would they handle a game where they're
well, I mean, like,
not called
would
on
Raya have ever been your goalkeeper of the season so far if he was still at Brentford? Like,
I don't know.
No, that's
it's a
difference.
Weird one.
Like,
it's a weird one.
Maybe if Sells was at Arsenal and, you know, Raya was at Forest,
do they have,
it'd be different.
Yeah, do they have
it's the, an interesting one.
Yeah.
Right, my right back, I'm going Trent. It was difficult after last week, after last game.
Oh, that stinky put out. I'm not having it. Also, I don't know if it's maybe just me, but, like, I don't think he's doing anything extraordinary this season.
No, but I think defensively, apart from this weekend, his game is slightly improved.
Like, we had, I do agree with that for sure. But, like, we had the debate earlier in the season, like, out of importance, how would you rank Salah, Trent, and Van Dijk? And I said then that Trent was at the bottom, and I still think he's bottom of that pack.
Yeah, so do I.
But
I don't think
Premier
League's blessed with lots of great right backs. And I don't think there's a single right back in the Premier League, the world, let alone the Premier League, who can do exactly what he does.
No, definitely not.
And I think he's been asked to do something slightly different, which has been to Liverpool's benefit, whereas he's not being asked to be, like, the main creator anymore. Mm. Liverpool are playing a lot more through the middle. You're watching like Luis Diaz, Cody Gakpo have more responsibility in terms of creating chances. They have a much better midfield.
Even Salah's creating more chances. Yeah.
They've had a much better midfield in terms of, like, to build out of this season that they haven't really had in previous seasons.
Yeah, you used to say that they skipped the midfield. But
yeah,
they
were more transitional. So I think he's going to get highlighted less, but I think he's had a really solid season. I think a lot of Liverpool fans would agree that this has maybe been one of his best seasons in a Liverpool shirt. And for me, I don't think anyone comes close, and they sit top of the league, so it's hard to...
I'll say he's in there, but for me, a couple of names. Jurrien Timber.
Yep.
But I won't include him because he's been moved about a lot.
And I think he missed, like, a good part of the
season. So I don't want to hold him down to right back because I feel like he's played left back, he's played right back, he's played centre back. Ola Aina.
Yeah, I think he was my
first of a couple Nottingham Forest players. But yeah, I think Ola Aina, he's been around the block. Like, he's done
just so, like,
Hull, he's done Fulham, he's done all these,
like, just under the, you know,
kind of Championship or lower tier Prem teams.
No one ever picked out that free signing was like, that's a banger.
No, 100%. And he's like 29 now, so he's in his peak.
That's why Fulham got rid of him, because he was like, well, yeah, we can get someone better in.
One of the best right backs in the Premier League this season. Like, Nottingham Forest, like we said a couple of times on the pod so far, most clean sheets, second least goals conceded.
And he scored a couple of bangers.
Plays well with the ball at his feet. That's why Man City have been linked with him.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, just really solid. And, like, for expectation to, like, reality, he's, like,
the top percentile.
100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out him.
100% agree.
Shout out Nigel, boys.
Who you got in centre-backs? Both centre-backs.
Okay, another Nottingham Forest shout, Milenkovic.
Yeah, I've got him as well.
We earmarked him at the start of the season as one of the best signings of the summer, and he's come in, proved us absolutely right.
Yeah, he's Fiorentina. Coming from Fiorentina, and he's just absolutely taking the Premier League.
I said this... Well,
not just in his box, but in the other end as well.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly it. Like, I mentioned on the pod a few weeks ago when he scored, like, a couple of games back-to-back, how he just, like, is unbelievably dominant in the air.
Oh,
he's like every set piece, if it's defending, he wins the ball. If it's a corner attacking, he'll score a header, mate. He's a man mountain. And next to him, Murillo. I'm not going to do double Nottingham Forest.
No.
But yeah, Milenkovic, quality.
I think Murillo was hard to miss out, but he would probably be like the third choice for me. Actually, we'll see who you got next.
And this is why I didn't include Trent, because Van Dijk is in my team of the season.
I've got Van Dijk as well. I've got the same centre-back pairing.
What a guy. Like, I slagged him off last season. I said he was on the downfall. I think I said the same as Salah as well.
Yeah.
They both proved me wrong. They're both going to be in my team of the season so far. Van Dijk.
Yeah, he's just been imperious. Yeah, he's been so pivotal to Liverpool's title charge.
100%.
There's been very few occasions where I thought he's played poorly.
Mm. Whereas last season, there was a lot of games where he was
tackles. I think he's made it less about him.
Mm.
And he's more willing to just take a backseat rot and just sweep up. And then
maybe it helps with Gravenberg in front of him as well.
I think so as well. Mm. I think that is just such an important role where we saw Liverpool play better last season when they finally included Endo.
Mm.
I think when he's just got that little shield in front of him, he could be a bit braver with what he does.
Mm.
And yeah, he's been absolutely amazing. I think honourable shout out to Murillo. For me, Gabriel as well was a difficult one to leave out.
Oh, I almost forgot about him. Yeah.
Arsenal were like best defensive record in the league again.
Facts, yeah.
He's been imperial. I think he's got like 4 goals this season.
Mm.
He's just class. And even when they don't have Saliba, when they don't have Ben White, when they don't have Calafiore, he's always there.
Mm.
He is the main... He's unfortunate that he's got Saliba in the same team as him
because
he gets overlooked often.
Mm.
And he's not maybe as Rolls-Royce as Saliba, but he's fucking effective. And yeah, for me, he's my honorable mention. But yeah, I've got Milinkovic and Van Dijk were too hard to look past.
Come on. Right, left back.
Anthony Robertson.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. I was a bit torn on left back, and I was going to go with Cucurella.
Should go Kirkes.
But I'm so happy. Oh, Kirkes is shouting.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
But let's go with Anthony Robinson.
Oh, is that what you went for?
No, I went with Cucurella.
Yeah.
I think we'll do like a merge one, and I'll make a graphic and put it out. And we'll go with Anthony Robinson. I think that's a really good shout.
He's been like maybe the best left back in the Premier League for like 2 seasons.
Just like underrated, goes about his business really well.
Yeah.
Captain in the side now.
I mean, America's... love Christian Pulisic. He's the LeBron James of soccer.
Yeah.
But mate, Anthony Robinson is 10 times the player of Christian Pulisic.
Although you see Pulisic's done a madness in the Scudetto final.
Yeah, we will have good games.
Was it a super goal? Oh, I don't know what it was.
For me, Anthony Robinson, he's so, so good. And I think he's so important to that Fulham
team. Much energy just up and down the pitch constantly, overlapping runs.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why
He's so well-rounded as well. Mm. You know, he can do everything. He never really has a bad game.
No.
He pops up with an abundance of assists. He is a joy to watch, and I think Fulham fans are absolutely in love with their American boy.
American boy. Right, midfielders.
I spoke about him earlier. You spoke about him earlier. Gravenberg, mate.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I think, you know, he came in last season, didn't really...
He's another one like...
Olaena,
that's like expectation to reality.
Well, I think his expectation was high.
And then
coming to last season,
and then it dropped. Yeah. And then it's back up now.
But
it's
absolutely crucial to Liverpool this season. Mm. I didn't really think he had it in him to be sort of like a domineering midfielder who sort of like could just be that general in the middle who could set the tempo, carry the ball, win the ball back, you know, battle, get stuck in, and he's done it all.
Mm.
And he shuttles the ball well, he stops play well, he can slow the game down, he can speed it up. He's been a real, real revelation for Liverpool. And I think under his fellow Dutch manager, Arne Slot, it's, you know...
He saved them like 100 mil on a player because they were looking at Saicedo, they were looking at Lavia.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just come and in. Obviously, they brought him for like 50 mil.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've saved...
But after last season, you would have thought he didn't really have a
future there.
Yeah, so for me, he had to be in there.
100%. Alongside him, who you got?
Oh, I can't remember now. Oh, I think I've got Caicedo.
Yeah, I was going to say Caicedo for me... Maybe too defensive in midfield, but then when we get to the...
Yeah, we probably have pretty much the same front line, actually. No.
But yeah, Caicedo, I think he's another one where like he came in last season at Chelsea, big price tag. Slightly under-delivered.
Yeah.
Well, not even slightly, definitely. But was that
Chelsea under-delivered.
Yeah, was that like a completely...
Apart from Palmer.
Because obviously... Oh, Baleba.
Yeah, I was thinking about Baleba.
He's a good player. But yeah, no, Caicedo, I think he's just been really good now for a long time. And he's been used in a few different positions, like right back when Malagusto and Reece James are out.
Yeah, I think he's brought a lot of stability to that Chelsea midfield. Mm. He's partnered up with Lavia, even Enzo at times, very well. I think he facilitates what the forward line of that Chelsea team want to do a lot.
Mm.
And he also facilitates what Cucurella can do. Yeah, I think it's just a really good season.
100%.
And, you know, I think both the teams we probably picked require probably a bit more defensive midfielder.
Because Coley Palms is in attacking midfield. Yeah, started the season electrically. He has taken a bit of a dip in the last few weeks.
Same with Chelsea, though.
Same with Chelsea in general. Are they just too over-reliant on Cole Palmer?
Oh, yeah.
Because when the title race was on, he was flying.
He's the main
and then
man.
They were like, oh, no, we're not in a title charge. And now they've dipped off.
Yeah, he didn't fancy it anymore.
Didn't fancy it anymore. But there's no denying his quality.
I mean,
he's
even
dropping
the games,
hat-tricks or four goals.
Even
in
the games where he doesn't play well, Chelsea plays well, he's still the best player on the pitch.
So good.
You know, he is, like Nottingham Forest, ruthlessly efficient.
Mm.
And he can do it all.
Yeah.
He's like drained all of Phil Foden's life force.
I was going to say, I tweeted this like a while back when Cole Palmer had a really good game and Phil Foden didn't. Cole Palmer is everything people think or thought Phil Foden was.
Yeah.
Phil
Foden was doing it, but Cole Palmer's putting up numbers that Phil Foden could only dream of.
Mate, he's a crack player. Tommy Tuchel has got to get him in that England team.
I think he is the star boy.
Yeah, he is literally going to be the focal point now that Harry Kane's kind of probably on his last major tournament coming up.
Yeah, I think he's got to be... Well, you got Jude as well.
Oh, I've got
But yeah,
Jude.
I mean, Cole Palmer, I think forward is the main man. Really
maybe,
is.
Yeah, mate. Oh, yeah.
You've got Bukayo in there. Like
maybe it's a midfield of Rice, Jude and
right.
Cole.
I think so... We pretty much got the same right winger.
Right winger, Bukayo Saka. No, I'm joking. Because my star boy is injured and has been for like the last month, and it looks like he won't be back for a few months now.
Foreseeable, yeah. Rest up,
my G. We've got a title challenge to do in March. But, yeah, there's no denying that the guy we've both got, Mo Salah, like the press reporter that interviewed him last week said... He's on for a Ballon d'Or season, mate. The gaze is cracked.
And I mean, they sit top of the Champions League table. They sit top of the Premier League table. They're in the Carabao Cup semi-final. They're in the FA Cup still.
He's top of goal scorer charts. He's top of assist charts.
He's on for a cruddy season. And, you know, no AFCON this year.
Yeah, come on.
No AFCON this year. So we're looking good. But yeah, he's been, without a doubt, the best friend of the Premier League.
And he's like... He has games where he stinks. Like, against Man United, it was a bad game. Still scored.
Yeah.
And he's one of those players where, like, yeah, if Liverpool are firing, he's firing.
Yeah.
And he's both are working well at the moment.
Yeah, he's the most influential player in the Premier League at the minute. And I would argue the best player in the world at the minute.
Yeah.
It's hard
to argue it.
Liverpool need to whack out the money big time. Yeah. They need to get that contract signed.
Yeah, they got two guys in our team of the season, or three if you include Luke's. All of them, no contract.
Yeah, it could be a sticky one next season.
Yeah, it could be.
But I think he's just been phenomenal, isn't he?
Yeah, there's nothing more to say. We talk about Salah every single week.
Who have you got on the left? Because I've... Yeah, I don't think he'd be happy with me.
I haven't actually thought of anyone.
Oh, okay.
You go.
I'm going to put Alexander Isak on the left.
Oh, nah. No.
If not...
Anthony Gordon.
No.
Who?
Damsgaard.
He's a centre mid.
Nah, mate.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about Isak out left. Because then what?
He played out there when he started for Newcastle.
Yeah, but
I'm just facilitating my strikers.
He's not playing there now. I'm trying to think.
Well, unless I put like Bukayo out there.
Let's do...
Because that's more feasible, I guess.
Yeah, potential, but even... Yeah, maybe we do that, but I don't know. Maybe we circle back to left wing.
Okay. If I can't have Isak there, that impacts my strike.
Because you have Chris Wood.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to have Isak, Chris Wood.
I'm not going to include Chris Wood. I think he's had a really good season. But for me, number nine is Isak. I think, like we said earlier, best striker in the Premier League, even though Haaland is...
Well, that's the issue. If I can't have him at left wing, then I need to put my number nine.
Yeah, Isak is the best striker in the Premier League.
I'll go in Burma left wing then.
You know what? I'll back that. I'll allow that. And Bomo left wing.
Yeah.
I think he's on 13 goals.
Yeah.
So there's no denying
him. Just... If he looked 5 years younger...
It's the hairline. I respect it, mate. Maybe more people should...
He needs a season out at Fenerbahce and then come back and then he'll be worth like 100 million.
Come on, yeah.
You know?
You see, Granit Xhaka's got a hair transplant recently.
I thought you had the...
So did I.
Yeah, right.
I mean, obviously they got the money. Just fucking
do what you want to do, mate.
So Salah. But yeah, no, Mbomo's a great shout.
Rudy had loads of money and his hair transport didn't go very well.
So Theo Baker. I think some people just doesn't
take... I think Theo Baker's got Wayne Rooney money.
He does not.
Probably been doing a better job at Plymouth, though.
Yeah. But that's the team of the season. Let us know in the comments down below your team of the season.
Yeah, I feel bad for Chris Wood, but...
Game.
Isak is
Isak is disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, 5 weeks ago, it would have been Chris Wood.
It's a techie one, maybe.
I mean, he's actually just found a formula right time for our team this season. That's it. That's clearly why he's done it for us. But yeah, guys, that brings episode 120 to a close.
Damn.
As always, if you do want to cop yourself some tasty little football garments, head on over to Classic Football Shirts using the link in the description. Use code BOARDRAW10 at checkout. Save yourself a nice little 10% off. Spend that Christmas money that your nana gave you.
Come on. Now we're going to go watch Arsenal beat Newcastle.
Exact type of stinker.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of worried about it, actually.
I'd be worried.
Yeah.
But it's at the Emirates, though.
Yeah, and then next
year. Yeah, you'll be all right.
We'll see you on the other side.
It's been BOARDRAW.